this probably, you guys probably could never relate to this, but I had a teacher in college that hated my guts. I don't know. You guys probably are like perfect with all your teachers. Are you loved?
Yeah.
Are you beloved by all your teachers? You get along really, really well with every teacher you have? Yeah? Oh, don't say names. Don't say names. But I had this one teacher that was like, I don't know if you can relate to this. Like, I feel like she seriously hated my guts no matter what I did.
Yes.
Like, I was the guy who would kiss up like crazy. I was a kiss up. So anyway, I would bring like little gifts and chocolates, and like, I never tried the apple because that just was lame. So I would try different things though, and it didn't work. Like, no matter what I did, this teacher still didn't like me. She wouldn't talk to me. She wouldn't help me. She would like, I felt like she intentionally marked my grades down. It couldn't have been me because, you know, I wasn't dumb. What are you laughing at? Anyway, she just didn't like me, and no matter what I did, I could not get on her good side. I don't know if you've ever like felt like that with teachers or just anybody in your life, but this particular teacher, she was kind of like one of those really, really old ones. You know, it's kind of like a dinosaur. She was there when all this stuff actually happened, you know, like you're learning about. And she had like the bun in her hair that never came down. I don't know if it ever could come down. Maybe she was born with it. I don't know, but I've never seen her without it. And she was so wrinkly that when she smiled, which she never did, but on the rare occasion, like her lips would disappear from all the wrinkles. It was just like, did that just happen? Like, whoa. And like she was just kind of like old and mean, and she wasn't like the easiest person to just talk to. So I knew how much she hated me, or at least thought she hated me. And I was right at the point of graduation. And as I was going over everything with my counselor, she was like, oh, you messed up in one of your classes. You took the wrong class. But the good news is it's so similar to the one you should take that you could probably go to a teacher and get this thing called a course substitution form filled out. And as long as that teacher fills it out, then you're good to go. All right, sweet, who do I need to talk to? Guess who? Nobody else but Miss Happy Bunny herself that I had to go to. So I was like, no. So I take my paper and I fill this thing out. And I am like regretting every letter I write because I know this lady hates me so much. There's no way she's ever going to approve this thing. Why would she? And she didn't need to. It was a stretch anyway, even if she was a nice person for them to approve it. I was like, I do not stand a chance. So I take my paper and I like kind of like, you know, just drag myself to her office with my head down like, this is going to be bad. And I knock on the door. And it's one of those things where you kind of wait outside for a few minutes and like build up the courage because you're so scared of them. You're like, oh, she's like a dragon. She's going to like breathe flames in me. I'm going to die. Like, I'm scared of this lady so bad. And so I finally knock on the door and she's like, come in. I'm like, oh no. Dude, just the words like were like, oh, nails on a chalkboard. It's like, oh, she hates me. So I walk into her office and I see her and I start to explain. Well, the whole time I'm looking down at my feet, just getting ready to have that door slammed in my face. And as I tell her, and I'm like, do you think maybe possibly you could sign this for me? She goes, I will. And I'm like, what? I literally said out loud, what? Why? She's like, you asked me why. I was like, no, don't worry about it. Just sign right here. You know, she signed the thing. I ran out of that office, man. I didn't want her to change her mind. But I was so like surprised that this woman would actually say she would do it. I just didn't know why she would. She had no reason to in the world. She didn't like me. Like, it didn't even really make that much sense. I kind of shouldn't even have my degree. Should I be telling you guys this? No, I'm just kidding. It wasn't even an important class. So I was surprised like crazy. In the passage we're looking at tonight, I feel like this guy that we're going to see in this passage is kind of in that same boat. He could probably relate to that story in a much bigger way where he's surprised that this would even be done for him and he just didn't get it for a second. So if you look with me, Mark chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 40. And it's probably a familiar story. I bet you guys have heard this before. So let's read this together in Mark 1:40. It says, and a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, if you will, you can make me clean. Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I will, be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded, for a proof to them. But he went out and began to talk freely about it, and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. Now, here we have a story of a leper. You guys are in a really awkward spot to be talking that one. Could you, like... Oh, okay, cool. I feel like I'm even watching what you're doing, and I'm just, like, talking. Hey, what's up? Cool. There are a lot of chairs in this general whole section, by the way, if you need one. Okay, well, we're talking about a leper here. And can someone, before we start, just tell me what a leper is? Who is this main character in this story? What's a leper? Isaac? No, not a leopard. Not the cat with spots. He said a cat. Don't listen to him. What? Yeah, they have a skin sickness. Were you going to add to that?
Like, their skin's just rotted away and their limbs could fall off at any time.
Basically, your flesh rots. Have you ever smelled rotten meat?
Yeah.
Like steaks that got left on the counter, you forgot them like for a week, and you're like, oh, that probably never happens. Who leaves a steak out of a... You could tell I don't. I don't waste. But if you ever smell rotten meat somewhere, like literally what their body's doing is that same thing. It's rotting. It's rotting away. Now, I couldn't tell you the scientific explanation, but I do know this. It was disgusting, and I've seen pictures of it like on the internet, and it literally made me want to vomit. Like, it'll make you sick to your stomach if you see these pictures of people with leprosy. Leprosy still actually exists in the world in some places, but for the most part, like obviously here in America, we don't have to worry so much about leprosy. But in this time period, these people had this horrible disease that basically rotted your whole flesh, and literally your limbs would start to fall off. Like, you would start to lose fingers and noses and ears, and it was very, very contagious. So the life of a leper, on top of basically having a death sentence, in other words, if Matt all of a sudden came down with leprosy, people just knew his time was now being counted. Like, he wasn't going to have much time left, and Matt was dead. It was a death sentence. There was no cure. By a miracle, you could probably be cured of it, but otherwise, this guy was going to die. And if you were a leper, because it was so contagious, you couldn't hang out in places like this. Where healthy people were, you weren't allowed. And you had this whole list of rules, a certain way of life that you had to abide by legally, because they didn't want you to infect other people, so they had to live in isolated colonies with other lepers. They weren't allowed to live with just normal, healthy people. You'd be separated from your families, separated from your friends, and basically just stuck out here all alone. You're an outcast. As you walk down a street, if you were to see healthy people walking down the street, there was something you'd have to do. Because you weren't allowed to walk by them too close, you'd have to give them warning that you were sick so they would know and not come too close to you. So you'd have to call out, unclean, unclean, so that they would know that you were sick. The life of a leper was not a good life, and this is a leper. This guy is an outcast. And so right away, right at the beginning of this story, we see something really unusual. It says, and a leper came to him. A leper actually approached Jesus. Now, this just doesn't happen. Lepers are outcasts. They're not allowed around healthy people. But on top of that, this was Jesus. His name was already kind of being known, and people in this area kind of knew, and this guy even knew who he was, so much that when he knew that was Jesus, he says, I gotta go talk to this guy. He breaks every rule that I just described to you by walking up and approaching a healthy person, but on top of that, not just any healthy person, Jesus. Wow. To me, that sets the tone for this whole story with some risky faith. That's what I think of when I think of this guy. He was willing to take a risk for his faith. He knew what he needed. He knew that he needed to be in the face of Jesus, and that only Jesus could do it. And so he was willing to take that risk. And that was a big risk. And I just wish sometimes I had more of that, you know? I don't know if you can relate to that. Sometimes I wish I was willing to take some more risks for Christ. I wish I was willing to talk to the people I'm scared to death to talk to about Christ. And this guy was like, no, nothing's holding me back. He comes to Jesus, and look what he does. It says imploring him. It sounds like a big word. What does that mean, imploring? Anybody know? Begging. And not just any begging, but literally the most emphatic form of begging that you could do. Like, this guy is screaming out, probably sobbing, crying, begging Jesus. He doesn't walk up to Jesus and go, hey, look, you need to heal me. I heard what you can do. Let's go. Make me better. You know, like, it sounds really funny. If you did that, we'd probably be like, you're an idiot. Why would you do that? But sometimes when I think about the way I pray, I bet it sounds exactly like that. Like, do I go before God for things and implore Him? Or do I go before God and demand of Him? And be like, look, you need to be doing this for me. Look, didn't you notice this stuff was happening? How come, what's going on here? And this guy goes up to Jesus with such humility that he begs. He doesn't demand. He begs of Jesus. And it says, in kneeling. Now come on, this guy is a leper. This guy's body is rotting and full of sores. Do you know the pain he must have gone through as he like had to physically kneel? Now, leprosy obviously kills some of the senses, so you actually go numb just before your body starts to fall off. But before that, you have these incredible sores and pain. And so who knows what it took just for him to get on his knees before Jesus, but he doesn't walk up to him and look him in the face and be like, look, come on now. I'm sick. You're supposed to be this healer. Let's see what you can do. He goes up to Jesus and begs him and gets on his face before him. Whew. That's surrender right there. That's surrender. And I wish my life could emulate that even stronger. You know, like where we really beg, where we really surrender to Christ, where we're on our knees before Him, just begging Him, realizing one thing that this guy got. Jesus, if you don't do it, nobody else can. Jesus, if you don't do this work in my heart, there's no other solution or remedy for me. I have no choice but to beg you and fall on my knees before you because you're my only hope. And as I read this story, I see the most beautiful picture of the gospel. Like we've been walking through what a gospel life is and looking at these beginnings of ministries. And all of a sudden, like a gem right in the middle of this thing, we get this story. And at first it's like, that seems kind of out of place. Except that it's such a gorgeous picture of what and why we live a gospel life. Because as we are willing to go before Jesus and recognize that He is the only hope we have, why should He be the center of our lives? Why should He be our everything, our gospel life? Because He is our only hope. And this guy got it. Now, I really hope it doesn't take getting leprosy and facing death for us to sit and go, wow, I really get it now. You are my only hope. But this guy was privileged enough to have leprosy that drove him to his knees. You see that? Like he was privileged to be sick. And even in that, sometimes I'm like, wow, you know, I complain so much when I have these things go wrong with me. This guy's greatest blessing was probably getting leprosy. The thing he probably hated most, feared the most, that hurt him the most, this awful disease was his greatest blessing because it drove him to his knees before the Son of God. And it helped him recognize that Jesus was his only hope. There's the gospel right there for us, guys. That is, we are plagued with this sin, which is way worse than leprosy and way more disgusting to God. It should drive us to our knees and say, Jesus, you really are our only hope. What a gospel. Then he says these words. If you will, you can make me clean. You notice he starts off by saying, if you will, like if it's your desire, not again with the demands like, come on now. But he gives him such respect. Like he admits, you're king, you know, you're king in this. You decide and you know what's best. Not, God, did you not figure out really what should happen down here or what's going on up there? But instead he looks and goes, well, if you're the only one who can heal me, you're definitely smart enough and big enough to know what I need. So if it's your will, like if you will do this. And then he says, you can make me clean. He doesn't say, you might want to try this, you know, a little trial and error. Pull a couple of herbs out and see if you make me a little medicine or something, or just give it an old try and one, two. He's like, you can do this. Like I'm on my knees begging you for a reason, not because I'm thinking you might be able to. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're the Son of God. And beyond a shadow of a doubt, I know that you have what I need. You can. Not you should, or could you try, but you can. And again, I go right back to my own prayers. It's like, man, every word happening here is just hitting me in the face with truth. Do I pray like that? Do I live like that? Because a gospel life is so full of this attitude. I believe with all my heart that you can, Jesus. No matter what's going on in my life. You know, I don't know what your leprosy is. I don't know what it is that's pinging your heart, that's breaking you, that has you worried, or whatever it might be. It's distracting you. I don't know if you're being bullied at school. You're like, Rob, dude, you just don't understand, like, the way these people treat me, the things that these kids say to me. And sometimes I wonder, like, does God even care? Does he even care that this is happening to me? I don't know what your family's like. And you're like, Rob, my parents just fight all the time nonstop, and it drives me nuts. And it just makes me sick to my stomach, and I just hide in my room. I can't stand this. Does God care about that? Does he care that my parents divorced and now they don't even talk to each other? And I'm trying to figure out what my family even is. Like, I don't even get what it is right now. Does God care about that? Does he know how sick this person that I love so much is that I might lose? Does God care about that? And if our prayers were prayers of a gospel life where we really believed he's God, we could seriously pray to him and say, you can. There's no doubt in my mind. You can. The question is, I'm not going to tell you to do it. If you will, I still know you know best, and it might not happen the way I want it to, but Jesus, I know you can. Because you're God. Whew, what faith. What incredible faith this guy had. And then he says, make me clean. Man, I don't know where you're at tonight, but there may be some of us here that need to just look to Jesus and go, please make me clean. You might not have leprosy. Maybe it's just something in your heart that you need to give up to Christ and just say, please make me clean. Take this away from me, because I know you can. Like, I want to be on my knees, surrendered to you, depending on you. And I know that, Jesus, I know you can make this change in me. As we continue through this passage, will you do me a favor? Whoever you are, even if you think you're totally great with Christ, will you just do me a favor, every person in this room, just ask yourself, do I need to ask Jesus to make me clean tonight? Is there something in my heart? Is there some sort of filth that I need to give up to Christ tonight? Is there something that's distracting me from just giving it all for Christ and living passionately for him that's holding me back from that? Whether it be a good thing or a bad thing, is it holding me back from Christ? And if so, Jesus, make me clean. I trust you can do this. Make me clean. Will you just ask yourself that as we talk tonight? In the next verse, verse 41, we see Jesus' reaction, and it is absolutely incredible. Jesus is moved with pity. I don't know if you guys know what pity is, but this isn't like, oh, I feel so bad for you. That ain't Jesus here. Jesus is literally moved from the inside at his core, it says, for he feels for this man. And you're thinking, like, all those questions like, God, do you even care about me? Do you care about these things that are happening? Here's your answer. Jesus was moved with pity at this guy as he was on his knees crying before him, begging him. Jesus looks down and he's absolutely moved and feels for him. You see it right here in Scripture. Do you see God's promises? They're for you, not just for the leper on the street. These are for you. That you don't have to go, God, do you care? Because he's telling you how much he cares. And it's not just for him. It's not just for that sick leper. It's for you. Man, Jesus just loves you so much. I wish I had a billion words that I could squish into this time tonight to be able to describe how much Christ loves you. But we don't have that. But I can point you to this promise. I can point you to this story that demonstrates this amazing love of your Savior. No matter how bad it hurts or how distracted you might be, guess what? He's moved for you too. And it might not look like it in the middle of your pain, but guess what? He loves you so much. And he does care about it. And you might be sitting here tonight and you're like, everything in my life is awesome. It's so great. I don't really relate to what you're saying. I guarantee you there will be a time that you need to remember this truth. When your heart does hurt and things aren't going so great, will you do me a favor and just remember this story? Just remember how Jesus was moved with pity, and that as he looks at you, man, I'll tell you what, he feels the same. And so since he's so moved, look what he does. Remember, this guy's a leper. No one's allowed to touch him. It's not just that he's not allowed to be among healthy people and touch them and talk to them, but if Shelby's like, hey, this guy's really cool and he needs a love, so I'm going to give him a hug even though he's a leper. Uh-oh, Shelby, ching, ching, sorry. Now you are considered leper. You just broke the rule. You can't go around touching lepers. Yeah. And here's Jesus going, I'm so moved with compassion for you. What does he do? He stretches out his hand. Now imagine, why do you think he's telling us in this story that Jesus stretched his hand out? Any ideas? Like, why do you think that's even included in here? It feels like a comic book where he draws like, dink, and then all of a sudden he's over here going, hink, you know, like, why? That doesn't, I don't feel like it needs to be in here. Why is that so important? Yeah. This guy's probably, remember, he's on his knees and he's cowering and probably not even looking at Jesus because of like respect and fear of what could happen to him. So imagine him on the ground, keeping his distance, but being close enough just to approach him and like looking like this and probably scared to even look at Jesus. For Jesus to look upon his pus and disgustingness was probably embarrassing on top of that. That leper knew he could never get any closer to Jesus. There was this like invisible cultural barrier, this wall that was there that he could never cross. It wasn't a real wall, but it just the same, it was holding him back. And the only way that he could ever be healed was this, get this, that Jesus spans that gap. That Jesus puts his hand right through that distance and says, I will break this barrier. I will break every rule that is constructed to hold my love back from you, because the most important thing is that I touch you. And it says Jesus stretched out his hand. That is so important, because sometimes God feels so far away to me. I don't know about you. Sometimes he feels so far away and I'm like, man, where are you right now? And I know that I serve a God that is willing to stretch his hand out to even me. Like he would do it for this dirty leper. Imagine what he'd do for you. But he doesn't just stretch his hand out toward him. Look what he does. It says, and touched him. Well, we already know that's a no-no, right? And like, why would you want to touch that? Why would you want to take that risk? Why would the holy, perfect, clean Son of God, the Messiah, want to touch such filth? And I ask myself that same question every time I think about my own salvation. Why would the Holy Son of God ever want to touch this filth, this sin in my life? And yet he does. Like, do you guys grasp that? Do you grasp how much he's done? This barrier that he broke for you. What a beautiful picture of the gospel and what Christ has done for us. And so he touches him, and then he says something. I will. What words of assurance. I mean, this guy just got finished asking him, like, Jesus, if you will, right? Remember, he started off by saying, if you will, you can make me clean. It's almost like, I don't know. It's like me walking up to that teacher and being like, you're probably not going to do this. I'll just start off right away. Like, I know you can do this. You definitely have the authority to sign my paper here. I know that, but I'm not sure you will. So if you will, like, I'm going to be respectful. I wonder if that was it. I don't know if Jesus was dismissing some sort of doubt he might have had that he was actually willing to do it, that he actually, like, would cared enough to do it or what. But Jesus affirms this guy's faith. This guy was willing to go all the way up to Christ and make this bold move. And Jesus looks back and says, let me just assure you of how much I love you. I'll reach out, I'll touch you, and with these two words, I'm going to confirm in your heart exactly how much I love you. I will. Don't you dare question it. Christ is looking you straight in the face saying, look, I will. You're that student that's here tonight on the edge of your chair, and you were this close from just being lit on fire for Christ. Being like, hold me back from telling all my friends about Jesus. Hold me back from being a leader in my church. Hold me back from driving my family to Bible study and just like getting my family involved with Christ. Hold me back from all that because I'm right there. And you might just need to recognize that Christ is looking at you going, look, it's time. You wonder where the power is going to come from to do that. You wonder how you're going to take that next step. Are you going to trust me enough? Because I guarantee if you do that, if you get on your knees before me, I will. I will. I will cleanse you of that sin that's clouding your head and your heart. I will pull those distractions away that are keeping you from following after me. I will take and mend the brokenness in your heart. I will do whatever I need to do because I'm telling you right now, I will. And look, the request this guy had was, man, I want to be clean. I want this leprosy gone. I want to be healthy again. And it was probably more than just his body. It's probably more than just that leprosy he was talking about, because he literally wants to be clean. Clean me of my sin. Clean me of my doubt. Clean me of living this way when you're really the Son of God. I want a brand new life. When you heal my body and give me my life back so I can actually not die, guess what? Guess how I want to live it? I want to live it for you, Jesus. There's no better way to do it. Right now, I'm facing death. I mean, I'm on this countdown until I die as my body's falling apart. And when you give me a brand new body and a brand new life, guess how I want to use it? For you. Why should that be any different for us? Like, we might not have leprosy, but as Christ gives us this brand new life, should we not have that same attitude of, guess what? I'm taking this new life. Try to stop me from living it for you, Jesus. Just try to stop me. Try to hold me back now. And I know there are people in this room tonight. You guys are like right on the verge. Some of y'all are doing that. It's like we can't hold you back. You're already living for Christ furiously. And we're so proud of you. And there's others that are here tonight that are like, man, I'm right there. I really am. I'm this close. I need you to pray for me because I'm ready to make that move. I'm ready for Jesus to look back at me and go, I will. Here you go. Be clean. So this guy gets this amazing gift. As Jesus says those words, look what happens in verse 42. And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. It didn't take time. It wasn't like, here, take this potion and call me in the morning. Take these two pills and call me in the morning. It wasn't one of those things, all right? I always think of the Princess Bride where she gives like the chocolate covered, like, yeah, he's only partially dead. Anyway, that's different. This wasn't one of those where it took time. This was like immediately Jesus touches the dude, and with those powerful words that only the Son of God could speak, he says, be clean. And as he says that, this leprosy completely disappears. I mean, imagine looking at this dude right here. Right? All right. He is just covered in leprosy. His arms already hanging like halfway off. His like face is getting a nose. His lips are probably gone by now. He's disgusting. Just the smell of him, you have to like cover your face because you can't even, wow, that's cool. You can't even get close to him. Like, it's disgusting. And you're watching as Jesus goes down. You're like, no, don't do it, Jesus, don't do it. Ah, gross. You know, and you're all, and he touches him. He's like, be clean. And all of a sudden we see him. You're like, what? What just happened? You're uglier now. No, I'm just kidding. I love you, dude. I love you. I was kidding. Totally kidding. Just kidding. Girls, he's single, I think. Oh, no, you're not. Anyway, whatever. I got distracted. Listen. This was a powerful thing that happened, okay? I don't mean to make light of it. I just think it's so stinking awesome. Like, with his words, this guy is instantly healed. What a powerful Savior we have. Do you think there was any doubt left in this guy's heart as he looks down in his body and he's like, what? You can't believe this. Look at this. You know what he does? Listen to what Jesus tells him after this. This is a hard nut to crack right here. Like, I'm trying to figure this out still. But verse 43, look what happens. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once. Now, first of all, let's stop right there real quick. Anyone know what the word charge means? I feel like in our culture today, charge is used like with a million different definitions. What are some definitions of charge? To tell? Yeah, like money, like swipe my credit card, I charge that to an account. Like some battle, like, yeah, to like run after, like charge, and I'm gonna run at you in battle. Like there's all these, yeah, what else? To command. Ah, to command. Actually, that's one of the closest uses of it here. Like, I looked this up and it literally means to prohibit, the actual word here that the author uses, to prohibit with threats. So Jesus is kind of like prohibiting, like threatening him in a way, but not like, I'm going to kill you, but like, yeah. Like this is a strong, strong command that he gives him. And this is what was done. Jesus does this again in John 5:14. Listen, where he meets another leper and he heals him. And this is what he tells him. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, see, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may happen to you. Jesus discharged that leper. And here in this story, he's doing the same thing. So before this guy leaves, right after he heals him, the guy looks down and he's like, I'm better. What the heck just happened to me? And Jesus goes, listen, sin no more. I just gave you a brand new life. Use it right now. Use it to serve me now. Use it for something that actually lasts now. Are you guys taking this life that Christ has given you and using it for him? Are you constantly out looking for your five, trying to find people that you can bring closer to Christ? Are you bringing people that need to hear the gospel to this place so they can hear it? Are you personally sharing that gospel with them one-on-one? Are you engaged in this mission? Are you living your life in a way that pleases Christ? Are you living holy? Are you trying to live like Christ and stay away from the world? Like, go and sin no more, he says. And so he charges this guy and says, look, I've given you a new life. Live it right now. And then he sends him away at once. He gives him a mission. This is what I want you to do. And this is the part that can be confusing. So listen up real close here. He says, and says to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go and show yourself to the priest and offer you for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them. Did he just say that? See that you say nothing to anyone? Like, you just healed me. You don't want the world to know that you're the Son of God? Isn't that what we're supposed to do as Christians? Why did Jesus tell him not to tell anyone? That doesn't sound like the Great Commission to me. What do you guys think? Too early? So basically what you're saying is this guy had a mission. It might not be the exact mission that we're given now. We know that we're called to go tell the whole world. But here's what Jesus wants more than just our crazy passion to just run out and do whatever to try to please him. He tells us exactly how to please him. And you know what he expects from us? Obedience. This Jesus wants our obedience more than he wants our passion. More than he wants anything else that we could offer him. He wants our obedience. And as he tells this guy, listen, this is what I want you to do. He's not saying don't tell anybody about this ever. What he's saying is the most important thing that I have for you right now is don't tell anybody on the road. Don't stop. Don't tell people. Go straight without stopping to this priest. And you show him yourself. And you do this ritual that's commanded of you so that they can see that you're actually clean. Now, back in the day, if some sort of miracle happened and someone was actually cured of leprosy, the only way they could get out of all those laws and rules and be like the outcast is by going to the temple. They'd see the priest. They would like check them and make sure they are actually clean. They'd do this ritual of cleansing and they were able to then be declared clean. Now, does the word clean kind of strike any bells for you from the Old Testament? Like how do Jews view that word clean? Any ideas? Why is it such an important word? What? Yeah, they had this. Go ahead. Kind of getting rid of sin. Sacrifices. This old sacrificial system of clean and unclean, what they could eat and couldn't eat, and all these like things in the law was very specific about this. And clean basically meant that it was acceptable to God. And so they would go to this temple and they would show this priest and they'd be like, okay, you're good. Now you can go enter the general population again. You could talk to real people, have fun. You know, like it was their way out. And so Jesus says, listen, what I want you to do is go straight to this priest that probably knows you. They've probably seen how disgusting and then like sick you are. And as you walk in there, they're going to know who you are. And they're also going to have heard about me and what I'm doing around here. And as you go and show your brand new healed body to them, it's going to blow their minds. And now these religious leaders who hate me are going to see the miracle that's done in you and not be able to doubt one bit that I'm the Son of God. See, Jesus had a mission, and his mission was to get these priests saved and convinced that he was the Son of God. And so he sends this guy straight to them first without stopping. But listen, sometimes I don't know if you guys are like this either, but look what this guy does. Sometimes it's hard to like contain how much you love him. Look what he does instead, verse 45. But he went out and began to talk freely about it. You see, he was saved. Like, he had surrendered to Christ, but he had this little discipline like problem with obedience. I don't know if that's you guys, like if you've ever had a problem being obedient ever in your life. But like, he loved Jesus. The problem was he had this little obedience problem he was still working on. You know, and so he didn't exactly listen to what Jesus said. And he couldn't contain the awesome news of what had just happened. So what does he do? He runs out and he starts telling everybody, dude, check this out. I'm healed. Like, my arm's not falling off anymore. I got a nose again. He's like, what? This is great. Look at this. And he can't contain it. Well, tell you what, listen to me. That's such good news for you too. Like, we have the gospel of Christ. We have salvation. We're not going to hell forever. We're going to be face to face with our God one day. And right now, He's present in our lives. That's good stinking news. You should be running around showing people, look at my new me. You know, like, God's made me new. You can have this too. This is incredible news. I can't hold it in. Now, I'm not saying disobey God like this guy did. But we should be that excited. We should be that emphatic about telling people about this great news. So much he does this, so much that it spreads the news. And Jesus couldn't even openly go into towns anymore. He had to go out into desolate places, it says, and people were coming from everywhere. Now listen, probably not because like there's persecution at this time. Persecution wasn't really mentioned this early. So people weren't out to like get Jesus yet. But if you were to go into one of those towns, you'd see that there were super narrow streets with these little side alleys, and that was about it. There's no like big mega center in the towns where they could go and sit. And so as people would like crowd in masses around Jesus, imagine this little street like packed with people. Have you ever been stuck in traffic on 95? And it's like not moving forever, and like you get out of your car and you kick a soccer ball around for like an hour and you're still not moving, and like you gotta pee so bad and you're like, come on, hurry up, we're gonna run. Like, it's horrible being stuck in traffic. Imagine a town like this, completely gridlocked by all the people that are coming out to see Jesus. And how would any of these people even get up and get a chance to see him? Remember how moved Jesus is by these people with needs? I wonder how broken his heart would be that they couldn't even get up so that he could touch them and minister to them and heal them. And so what does he do? He doesn't even go into the cities anymore, towns anymore. He goes out to like deserts and other places. Why? Because it's a big enough area that all these people can actually fit and gather around him, and he can minister to their needs. Don't tell me that we serve a God who doesn't care. Don't you ever listen to anyone who tells you that. It's probably just their broken heart speaking. What you need to know is he does. And what you need to tell them is that yes, he does. He gives us such beautiful examples of how much he loves us, how much he does care about our pain. And he changes everything. He crosses this distance, this barrier. He touches dirty lepers. He'll do what it takes to get to you. He is so crazily in love with you. There's no holding him back. And the only thing stopping him is you. It's me. Because if we're really on our knees before him, just begging him, Jesus, you do the work, he guarantees he's going to do it. He guarantees it. If you just close your eyes for a second, I don't feel like we're done yet. Guys, I can't approach a message like this from God's Word and not give the opportunity for people to respond. I can't shake it that there are people that He's touched tonight that are sitting in this place. And this message is speaking straight to your heart as you watch the love of Christ in this scripture. You're just like, wow, why would you love me that much? Like, if you're anything like me, you're thinking that right now. Why would you love me this much? And you might be in that place where you're like, Jesus, I'm ready for you to look back at me and say that you will clean me. I don't know if you're there tonight. I don't know. Maybe you're not yet and you're just sitting there. Will you just pray to God and be like, Lord, get me to that spot? God, get me to that place where I can just surrender and be on my knees like that leper and say, clean me, please clean me. But listen, if you are there tonight, if you're ready to talk to Jesus and just say, please clean me, will you have the guts to get up tonight and just go to the back and talk to one of these leaders that love you so much? Just be like, look, will you just pray with me so I can ask Jesus to clean me? I've never actually done that. Like, I've gone to Christian school. I've lived in a Christian family maybe my whole life, but I've never done this. Tonight's the night. I need to do this. Will you get up right now and just go back there and pray with them? And maybe you're just, tonight what you're saying is, look, Rob, like, I know Christ and I love Christ, but I'm in a point where I need to take that next step. Like, I want to live for him passionately like this leper and say, Jesus, you gave me a new life. I want to seriously get off my feet, get on my feet and start running around and doing the right thing and living for Christ passionately. Rob, can one of these leaders pray with me tonight and just help me, like, give that to God and say, look, help me to really take that next step and live 100% for Christ. Will you get up and find a leader right now? They're all across the back waiting. Will you just go pray with them and just say, here, pray with me that God does this in me. Pray that I learn how to use this new life and start to really live it. For the rest of us, if you're still sitting there, you're good with God and everything's great. Hopefully you've been thinking about who your five are. People that you want to share Christ with. And so, will you just take a minute as you sit there and pray for the people around you. Just pray that God would touch their hearts, that they would know Jesus, or that your five would come to know Christ. If you're sitting there right now and you're just sleeping, will you just pinch yourself and wake up and just use this time to pray? Join us and beg God to do a work in our community, in your five, in your family, and people that need to know this great news that makes us jump up and down. Pray right now and beg Him for that. And finally, if you're here tonight, you're just bitter with God. Like, you look around and your life is just full of pain and you're just lost and you're just bitter with Him. I just want to tell you how much Jesus loves you. And if you don't have to believe me, will you just ask Him? Will you just take that step and just be like, look, I'm mad at you right now. Start the conversation with Him. Just tell Him that. God, I'm just ticked off. I don't understand what's going on, Lord. Help me figure this thing out. I want you to know I love you, and if that's you tonight, I've been praying for you for a long time, and I'm going to keep praying. I want to see God do a work in me. Father God, we love you so much, Lord. Jesus, there's no greater news but to know how much you love us, even though we're lepers, God, even though we're sinners, and we're disgusting, and we don't deserve you. Thank you that you're not far away. Thank you that you do care about our pain, Lord. You love us so much. Help us to rejoice in that and to live this new life for you, Christ. Thank you for saying you will. We love you. It's in your name we pray.